Chapter 37. Beyond the village, the country was undulating and cultivated. In fact, it was the garden land of Antioch, with not a foot lost to labor. The steep faces of the hills were terraced. Even the edges were brighter of the trailing vines which, besides the lure of shade, offered passers-by sweet promises of wine to come, and grapes in clustered purple ripeness. Over melon patches, and through apricot and fig tree groves, and groves of oranges and limes, the whitewashed houses of the farmers were seen, and everywhere plenty, the smiling daughter of peace, gave notice by her thousand signs, that she was at home, making the generous traveler merry at heart, until he was even disposed to give Rome her dues. Occasionally, also, views were had of Taurus and Lebanon, between which, a separating line of silver, the Orontes placidly pursued its way. In course of their journey the friends came to the river, which they followed with the windings of the road, now over bold bluffs, and then into vales, all alike allotted for country seats, and if the land was in full foliage of oak and sycamore and myrtle, and bay and arbutus, and perfuming jasmine, the river was bright with slanted sunlight, which would have slept where it fell, but for ships in endless procession, gliding with the current, tacking for the wind, or bounding under the impulse of oars, some coming, some going, and all suggestive of the sea, and distant peoples, and famous places, and things coveted on account of their rarity. To the fancy there is nothing so winsome as a white sail seaward blown, unless it be a white sail homeward bound, its voyage happily done. And down the shore the friends went continuously till they came to a lake fed by backwater from the river, clear, deep, and without current. An old palm tree dominated the angle of the inlet. Turning to the left at the foot of the tree, Malich clapped his hands and shouted, "Look, look! The orchard of palms!" The scene was nowhere else to be found, unless in the favored oases of Arabia, or the Ptolemaean farms along the Nile. And to sustain a sensation new as it was delightful, Ben-Hur was admitted into a tract of land apparently without limit and level as a floor. All underfoot was fresh grass, in Syria the rarest and most beautiful production of the soil. If he looked up, it was to see the sky poly blue through the groinery of countless state-bearers, very patriarchs of their kind, so numerous and old, and of such mighty girth, so tall, so serried, so wide of branch, each branch so perfect with fronds, plumy and wax-like and brilliant, they seemed enchanters enchanted. Here was the grass coloring the very atmosphere, there the lake, cool and clear, rippling but a few feet under the surface, and helping the trees to their long life in old age. Did the grove of Daphne excel this one? And the palms, as if they knew Ben-Hur's thought, and would win him after a way of their own, seemed, as he passed under their arches, to stir and sprinkle him with dewy coolness. The road wound in close parallelism with the shore of the lake, and when it carried the travelers down to the water's edge, there was always on that side a shining expanse limited not far off by the opposite shore, on which, as on this one, no tree but the palm was permitted. "See that," said Malich, pointing to a giant of the place. "Each ring upon its trunk marks a year of its life. Count them from root to branch, and if the sheik tells you the grove was planted before the Seleucidae were heard of in Antioch, do not doubt him. One may not look at a perfect palm tree but that, with a subtlety all its own, it assumes a presence for itself, and makes a poet of the beholder. This is the explanation of the honors it has received, beginning with the artists of the first kings, who could find no form in all the earth, to serve them so well as a model for the pillars of their palaces and temples, and for the same reason Ben-Hur was moved to say, as I saw him at the stand today, good Malich, Sheikh Ilderim appeared to be a very common man. The rabbis in Jerusalem would look down upon him, I fear, as a son of a dog of Edom. How came he in possession of the orchard? And how has he been able to hold it against the greed of Roman governors? If blood derives excellence from time, son of Arius, then is old Ilderim a man, though he be an uncircumcised Edomite." Malich spoke warmly. All his fathers before him were sheiks. One of them, I shall not say when he lived, or did the good deed, once helped a king who was being hunted with swords. The story says he loaned him 1,000 horsemen, who knew the paths of the wilderness, and its hiding places as shepherds know the scant hills they inhabit with their flocks, and they carried him here and there until the opportunity came, and then with their spears they slew the enemy, and set him upon his throne again. And the king, it is said, remembered the service, and brought the son of the desert to this place, and bade him set up his tent, and bring his family and his herds, for the lake and trees, and all the land from the river to the nearest mountains, were his and his children's forever, and they have never been disturbed in the possession. The rulers succeeding have found it policy to keep good terms with the tribe, to whom the Lord has given increase of men and horses, and camels and riches, making them masters of many highways between cities, so that it is with them any time they please to say to commerce, go in peace, apostrophe, or stop, and what they say shall be done. Even the prefect in the citadel overlooking Antioch thinks it happy day with him when Ilderim, surnamed the generous on account of good deeds done unto all manner of men, with his wives and children, and his trains of camels and horses, and his belongings of sheep, moving as our fathers Abraham and Jacob moved, comes up to exchange briefly his bitter wells for the pleasantness you see about us. How is it, then? Said Ben-Hur, who had been listening unmindful of the slow gait of the dromedaries. I saw the sheik tear his beard, while he cursed himself, that he had put trust in a Roman. Caesar, had he heard him, might have said, I like not such a friend as this, put him away. Apostrophe, it would be but shrewd judgment, Malich replied, smiling. Ilderim is not a lover of Rome, he has a grievance. 3 years ago the Parthians rode across the road from Basra to Damascus, and fell upon a caravan laden, among other things, with the incoming tax returns of a district over that way. They slew every creature taken, which the censors in Rome could have forgiven, if the imperial treasure had been spared and forwarded. The farmers of the taxes, being chargeable with the loss, complained to Caesar, and Caesar held Herod to payment, and Herod, on his part, seized property of Ilderim, whom he